The Mishnah, with regard to Hadassim, tells us that if there are too many berries on the stem of the Hadass, and too many means that there are more berries than there are leaves, then the Hadass is pasul. And then the Mishnah goes ahead and tells us, in Miatan, if you diminish the number of anovim, of berries, which means that you just simply de-bury the stem. Okay, we don't want to bury this stem because we want to use it, but if you debury it and you take off the berries, then it's kosher. The sugi that we're about to embark upon is going to try to analyze what exactly is the mission of being machadish here. Meaning, if I go into Yontif, into Sukkis, with a hadas, and the hadas, as I see it, has more leaves than berries, because whatever berries were on the hadas, I removed them before Yontif. So the Gemara says that that's pshita. Now the word pshita is the opposite of a chidush. Pshita means it's simple, and we didn't hear any new idea. And the rule of thumb with regard to everything that we have in Shas, whether it's a Mishnah, whether it's a Brisa, whether it's an Amora, any statement in Shas always has to have a chidush. It has to have something to teach me that I wouldn't have known if not for the Mishnah, if not for the Brisa, if not for the Gemara. So the Gemara says the following, that if you assume that the berries were plucked before Yontif, that means when I enter into Yontif on the night of Sukkot, I already have a kosher hadas, because the hadas has more leaves than it has berries. The excess berries I removed surgically before Yontif. If that be the case, if the Mishnah is addressing a case where he removed the berries before Yontif, that's going to be pshita. Okay, now let's try to understand why that's pshita. Okay. Now, Rabosai, for today, I'm going to try to write on the board the most important concept that we need. And we're going to have to learn this concept. And if we learn it, we have a chance at success here in the sugya. Now, people have asked me, what's my pace in this year? I don't know what my pace is, because it really depends upon which sugya we're learning. Sometimes we can move at a faster pace. But in this case, I don't think we can really speed it up, because it's a very challenging piece of work. Okay. Sorry.
How many people on the days at the Mishnah?
Okay. We are on Daf Lamed Gimel Amid Beis, about 8 lines down from the top. So, Bosai, here is the main concept that we're going to have to learn. And it works like this. If I put down a lulav on the table, and when I say lulav, I mean hadassim, my rovas, it doesn't matter. I put it on the table. Is that called a lulav?
Say that again?
Is that called a lulav?
No, what was the example?
I have a lulav on the table. Is that called a lulav? I'm telling you, it's a lulav on the table. Is that called a lulav? Everybody? No, it's not a lulav. Why? Because what month of the year are we in now? We're in Elul.
You didn't say that.
Okay, I said I put a lulav on the table right now. I said, I figured you were intelligent enough to figure out that it's Elul. Okay. Now you and I would look at it and call it a lulav, correct? But halacha doesn't see it in the same way. The halacha sees it as a lulav on yontif. the status of this object the whole year round, until we get to the 7 days of Sukkot, is, call it whatever you want. If you have no better name for it, I would call it a palm. You know, call it a palm leaf. You know, call it whatever you like.
A lulav in waiting.
It's a lulav in waiting in potential, but it's not a lulav. And this introduces the concept of shame lulav shel mitzvah. Shame lulav shel mitzvah means the status of a lulav shel mitzvah. The status of a lulav shel mitzvah only emerges with yontif. Before yontif, it's not a lulav shel mitzvah. It's like if today was Tu B'Shvat, and I would tell you, here's a lulav on Tu B'Shvat. So you'd say, good, I could use it to make a broom out of it. I could use hadassim, you know, to smell for the nice odor of it and soap and fragrance. I could do a lot with it, but it's not a lulav shel mitzvah. Again, the word lulav here means all three meaning. Okay, it's important to get the terminology. In the Gemara's language, just so we don't get confused, there's something called a Hoshana. That's not the way we use the term Hoshana. We use the term Hoshana to refer to an Arava. In the Gemara's language, a Hoshana is a lulav, which means times three, which means three meaning. Okay, so just... you'll have to get used to Gemara's terminology. The word lulav here means the hadassim, the arovas, the lulav, all together as one unit. So now, if it's not yontif, it's not a lulav sheyesh bo shem lulav shel mitzvah. There's a special status, and that's a halachic legal status called lulav shel mitzvah. Okay. Now, once you have a lulav shel mitzvah, now all the problems set in. Okay, what are those problems? So there are going to be two major problems that we have to address. And one is called Taaseh. I'm sorry. One is called Taaseh. Vilomin, who can help me out here?
Asui.
Excellent, Vilomin Asui. Okay, we'll call that Roman numeral number one. And Roman numeral number two is called Dichui. Okay. Now, the first problem here, which is called Tasev Lomina Osui, is only relevant if I assume another principle. Again, we're learning like Kolatar Kula here today. And that is called Lulav Sarich Agag. That's a gigantic controversy. According to one opinion, lulav tzarech agad, which means that it's not a lulav shel mitzvah unless you bind together the lulav together with the hadassim and the arava. So we have that three-part unit that we mentioned before. That's called a lulav. But it only becomes a lulav with agad when you bind it together. That's according to one opinion. The opinion that holds what? Lulav tzarech agad.
Okay. It's not a lulav unless it's
bound together.
But you also said it's not a lulav until it's a lulav shel mitzvah on Yom Tov.
Okay.
So do both those conditions?
Okay, so that's what we're going to have to see, Phil, as we go along. I would assume the answer to your question is yes. We need two conditions. If you hold lulav tzarech agad, we're going to need both the agad and Yom Tov. The only thing that's a little tricky here is that which came first, the agad or the yontif? In a classical case, yeah, we can have always exceptions to every rule. The agad came first. So let's assume that he did the agad at noon on the 14th of Tishrei, Erev Sukkot, he did the agad. Is it called a lulav shel mitzvah?
No.
But with the passage of another, let's say, 6 hours, depending upon when sunset takes place, it becomes a lulav shel mitzvah, because I have two conditions met. Number one, I met the condition of lulav tzarech agad, and again, I'm going to go into the Ma'ad Yomer who holds that lulav tzarech agad. So I did the agad, and number two, now it's yontif. So now it's yontif. I have a lulav shel mitzvah. Okay. Now, once I have a lulav shel mitzvah, then I can now let's fast forward to Dichui. Now I could analyze the sugya from the perspective of Dichui, which means the following. That if the lulav. And again, when I say the lulav, I don't want to repeat myself over and over again. It's a code word for any of the three. Any of the three and all of the three, right? If any of the three are possible, let's say, for example, I can give you two examples in the case of hadas, because our sugya is really focused on hadas. Number one, what would be a psul in hadas? Would be that there are too many berries, a multitude of berries. We're going to soon see that the berries have to be black. They're dry. And number two, niktam rosha, which means that the head of the hadas was broken off. In both of those cases, the lulav is possible. Hadas is possible. Lulav being. And yet, in both those cases, we have the possibility of reversing the situation, and again being machshir. Does everybody know what the word machshir means? Because otherwise I'm going to have to write that on the blackboard. What does machshir mean? Miloshen kosher, to make it into kosher. So you have posel and kosher. Posel means disqualified, and kosher means qualified. So there are two situations, two scenarios in which you could have a hadas that became posel, but now I could be machshir, I could re-kosher it. It's like, you know, taking the liver out of a chicken and salting the liver. You know, I kasher the liver. So I can kasher up my hadas. In the case of niktam rosho, I can't do it actively. Nature will have to do it for me. And that what happens?
Berry.
The hadas grows a berry. Okay? A hat, which is called a berry. And that berry replaces its old head. And it's a new head on the hadas. The second case would be if I pluck off the berries and now I have more leaves than I have berries. That's another way of kashering up a hadas. But the problem is dihui, which means that at one moment in time, this hadas, because of its multitude of berries or because of its headless situation, was possible. And a psul creates dihui. Now, does a psul create dihui, dihui meaning rejection, or does it not create rejection? That's a gigantic machlokes, so a controversy that'll continue to live on until Mashiach comes, because the principle of dichui we know is established where, without a shadow of a doubt, in kachim, right, in karbonos. And the question is, do we extend that to include a mitzvah? That once you have an object of a mitzvah and it became posel, that psul, according to one opinion, that's called yesh dichui b'mitzvah, that psul penetrates into the very fiber of the mitzvah, of the object of the mitzvah, and it's irreversible. I give you the example of a tattoo. Now today, again, they have new surgical methods of removing tattoos, but if I can just use it for our purpose, again, nobody here is going to argue with me whether you could remove a tattoo, because we're assuming that the word tattoo means it's forevermore and it cannot be removed, just for our purposes, okay? So the question is, does a psul in a mitzvah become a tattoo? That's called yesh dichui eitzel mitzvah. This means we're going to extend the principle from kachim and apply it to mitzvahs, and once it's a psul chal, you cannot remove the psul. No matter what changes you do to reverse the situation, you removed all the berries, and you grew a berry on its head. Yesh dichui b'mitzvahs means it's a tattoo. Once it's psul, always psul. The other man, the other says, ein dichui eitzel mitzvahs, which means that all you have to do is remove the psul, and once you remove the psul, it goes back to being kosher. But all that applies, my friends, only after nightfall on the 15th of Tishrei. Because before the 15th of Tishrei, it's not called a lulav. It doesn't have the status of a lulav shel mitzvah. And therefore, you can't tell me that it became possible. Something can become possible if it has the status of a lulav shel mitzvah. But if it's not a lulav shel mitzvah, you can call it possible if you like. Because with nightfall, if nothing changes, it's going to be possible. But that has nothing to do with our sugya. We're talking about a halachic legal status of psul. That psul maybe, perhaps, you know, penetrates into the very essence and the neshama of this chafetz shel mitzvah, this object from a mitzvah. And that can only apply when it is an object from mitzvah, which means that it lends itself to be an object shel mitzvah. Now, here we have to subdivide it into two categories. There's one category where, at the moment of nightfall, on the 15th of Tishrei, it was kosher, and then it became posel, which means that the hadas had a head on it when Yom Tov started, and then somebody removed its head, or it fell from a thing, and it was niktam rosho when it lost its head. That's one case. That's going to be your classical case of dichui, and we're going to vacillate back and forth according to two opinions. One opinion says yesh dichui etzel mitzvahs, and even if it grows a berry on its head, it's, it remains possible. One mind the other says ein dichui etzel mitzvahs, and now we can reestablish the status of this hadassah's kosher. Then we have another category, and that category is that the Niktam Rosho didn't happen after sunset, after the stars came out on the night of the 15th, but it was Niktam Rosho before we entered into Yom Tov. Okay, now why is that different? Okay, so that's called, I keep forgetting where I put my, here it is. Okay, that's called Dichui. Anybody know what that's called? Dichui Me'ikara. Again, as I said today, Rav Osai, we're introducing a lot of new terminology, and it's very challenging to get to you can be overwhelmed by all these different terms. But dichui meikar, the word meikar means from the get-go, from the inception, meaning from the moment it became impotential, a lulav shel mitzvah with nightfall, or if you hold lulav tzarech agad, you need to bind it and nightfall, those two factors. At that moment, it was already possible because the head fell off the stem of the hadas before nightfall. Or, for example, if there's a multitude of berries before nightfall, that's called dichui meikara. So again, here are the two categories. The classical case of dichui, if I don't add the word meikara, means that it was kosher. It became a full-fledged lulav shel mitzvah. It had the identity, the status of a lulav shel mitzvah. And then subsequently, it became possible because it fell and broke its head, Humpty Dumpty. The other possibility is called a lulav, which is dachui me'ikara, which means that as we entered into Yontif, it was a headless hadas, or it had a multitude of berries. So then it was possible before we got its status as a lulav shel mitzvah in a certain sense never got off the ground. Why? Because a lulav shel mitzvah means it's suitable for a mitzvah, and now the time for the mitzvah has come. But here it's not suitable for a mitzvah because it was already a headless hadas before nightfall, and therefore it was dachui meikara. And here the Gemara is going to vacillate back and forth, as we'll soon see, that maybe the whole issue of dichui only applies if at one moment it was kosher with nightfall entering into Sukkos, and then it became possible, because then the psul penetrates into the very heart, the very essence of this Heftah Shal Mitzvah. But if it never got off the ground, that's not called dichui. Dichui means when there has to be an active psul that attacks, attacks the Heftah Shal Mitzvah. But if it was possible before Yontif, then it really was never, in effect, it was never a lulav shel mitzvah because it was never royal mitzvah, and it didn't lend itself to me. So again, Rabbi said, let's go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells me that he removed the berries from the hadas, and the hadas is kosher. When did that happen? If it happened on Erev Yontif, as we said before, 12 noon on the 14th of Tishrei, he removed the berries from this hadas, then the Gemara says there's nothing to talk about. Why? Because the moment the moment that the stars come out, I'll call it, on that night of Yom Tov, it's a kosher hadas. Any status or any situation that you describe with regard to this hadas before Yom Tov is totally irrelevant, because at that point it's not a lulav. You can call it a lulav if you like, but you'll just be falling into my trap if you call it a lulav. It's not a lulav. It only becomes a lulav when it has a shame lulav shel mitzvah with nightfall. So therefore, that's history. That's irrelevant to us. That's ancient history. That's irrelevant. Sometimes ancient history is relevant, but not in this case. In this case, we couldn't care less about the fact that once upon a time, there were many berries on this stem of hadas. The main thing is, there was never a psul at the moment that it became a lulav shel mitzvah. Now again, at what point does it become a lulav shel mitzvah? So one thing is clear, we have to wait till nightfall. It's not a lulav shel mitzvah before nightfall. But number two, we might have to introduce another condition. And what's that? Egged. Right. That's Lulav Tzarek Egged. If you hold like that, by the Omar, then it's not enough that the sun sets and the stars come out on the night of the 15th of Nisan, of Tishrei, but you also have another, you have another additional condition. It has to have an Agat. Okay. Now, when did he remove the berries? So the Gemara says the following. If he removed the berries before it became a lulav shel mitzvah, pshita means the Mishnah's not telling me any chiddush that hadas is kosher. Who cares if it was once possible in its ancient history? You know, this is not like a criminal record in a court. It's irrelevant. It wasn't a lulav. Now, if you add into the equation lulav tzarech agad, then when does it become a chefetz shel mitzvah? Only we have two conditions, David. What are those two conditions?
Agad
and the time period. We'll call it Lila, okay? I keep calling it Tzeis HaKavod. We'll call it Lila. So we need Lila, Yontif, and we need Agad. Okay. So now, let's say that he would remove the surplus berries before Agad.
Again, no problem.
And we're holding now lulav tzarek agat. No problem whatsoever. And if that be the case, pshita means, because if I hold lulav tzarek agat, it doesn't become a lulav shel mitzvah until after agat. Then it's just a stem, you know, with nice smelling leaves on. But it's not a hadas shel mitzvah. Why? Because lulav tzarek agat, and until you tie and bind down this hadas to the lulav, it's just simply a physical entity, but it doesn't have any status as a lulav shel mitzvah.
It's not lulav shel mitzvah. Even if you do agad, if yontif hasn't come in, it's still not.
Great. We always need these two conditions to be chal.
It's a question, please.
Yeah, Jerry.
If you do agad 2 hours before yontif,
right?
When night falls, is it considered minhas?
That would be a case of min hasui. Why? Because if the hadas was possible, let's say it had a multitude of berries on it, and he did the agad when the hadas had a multitude of berries, now Lila, what we have here is a problem. Why? Because if he just removes, if he removes what? The excess berries, that's going to be tasev alomina osu. Which is similar to the case that we gave where you have schach, that's mechubal karka, and you put your sukkah underneath the foliage of a tree, and then after the foliage sits on the defanos, you cut the umbilical cord here. That's called tasev voluminosity, because at the moment that the schach was placed onto the sukkah, it was possible. What you have to do in such cases, you have to start from the beginning. So if he removes, and Jerry, you'll tell me if this answers your question. If he removes the excess berries at night after the agad, in other words, he's already has the hadas bound together with the lulav and the arava, but the problem is the hadas is posel. Now he removes the berries. That's going to be a problem of tasev lomenosu. And what he's going to have to do is he's going to have to take it apart and put it back together again and so forth. Does that answer your question, Jerry? I'm
not sure. Exactly.
Oh, okay. So what was your question?
If you hold agad, and the guy before nightfall, 2 hours before, minimal kosher, the kosher, everything's good.
Oh, he already removed the berries.
Everything is good.
Everything's good.
And he puts them together 2 hours before yontif.
Right.
When nightfall, kosher, is it min hasui?
No, I'll tell you why. Because agad is not done on yontif. Agat, just like building a sukkah, putting the schach on is done before sukkahs, so too the asiyah of agad is accomplished before sukkahs.
If you do,
but just 1 second, I'll be right with you, Phil. Yeah. Just don't want to.
If you do, assuming you accept agad, so you do agad first.
But when you say accept agad, do me a favor, Rabosa. I know I'm being a stickler here of terminology, but it's very important for me that you, because I take this learning very seriously. I take this seriously. I don't think that you're here for an hour and you forget everything that we discussed after you walk out of the door. Maybe I'm fooling myself. I'm living on a fantasy world. I don't know. But I take you guys very seriously. And your limud is important to me. So the word is lulav tzarech aga. So you're going to have to, again, it's not easy to learn this. It's like memorization. But lulav tzarech aga.
But you can accept it or not accept that concept, right?
Right. So you have to tell me, are you assuming lulav tzarech aga?
Yes, yes, I'm trying. Okay.
See, we're assuming lulav tzarech aga.
Right. Therefore, it's a requirement for it to be a lulav at sunset, right? So I've done the agad. It now becomes possible, but and then sunset comes in. So the one of the two requirements, it happened in between. It's not yet sunset, so it's.
And what issue are you referring to? To dichui or to
dichui?
Dichui. So that would be a case of yesh dichui etzav mitzvus or ein dichui etzav mitzvus. If I hold yesh dichui etzav mitzvus since it became possible, and now with nightfall it was possible, it remains possible.
Even though it was kosher at the time of the agabus, I need two conditions.
Correct. But that case is going to come under dichui me'ikara, which I told you is a separate category because it never became a lulav shel mitzvah in a certain sense because it was already possible with nightfall.
Okay.
Is it true that agab has to be first? Can't I go into yontav and then put them in together?
Well, yes and no. Meaning it could be. We'll tell you not to do that because of two reasons. Number one, you have to tie what's called the Kesher Shel Kayoma, which is a permanent knot. That's a subcategory of Melechas Kosher, which is one of the Melechas that's also in Yontif. And on top of that, by fixing up the Gimel Minim, which according to Lulav Tzarech Agad is the requirement, you have violated a different Melech, which is called Makav Patish, which is otherwise called Tikkun Manu. But Jerry, your question still remains a very pressing question. What if he went ahead and he did it? In other words, we would not have recommended that. But if he took the, you know, he took the bull by the horns and he went ahead and he made the agon on Yontif, so we're not going to necessarily say, well, we're going to punish him and flask him and flagellate him because he violated Yontif and therefore the lulav is possible. Phil.
No, I'm just...
Again, there's a lot of information here, Phil. I'm telling you. If we get by today, I promise you, you'll do better tomorrow. But this is like, I didn't write the script. You know, some sugyas, you can go through, this is... There's like 50 million variables in this.
We're all good. I speak for everybody. I don't understand the underlying principle. I seem to have missed that.
Whenever the Torah requires creating a chefet shel mitzvah, which is rare, but it applies to sukkah, we're not sure if it applies to lulav, then if you created it and it was possible, then you got to start from
at the time of creation.
Exactly.
Okay.
At the start of creation. So now let's go through pshita. If we get through the pshita here, Rabosai will be on the right feet. What is pshita? Pshita means that if you rectified the lulav by removing its excess berries before the shame lulav shel mitzvah, that's called pshita. There's nothing to discuss over here. You can't talk about dichui. Because dichui only applies to a chefetz shel mitzvah. This was never possible as a chefetz shel mitzvah. The more complicated issue here is going to be the first issue, which is called tasev lo mina asui. And the Gemara assumes that if you hold lulav tzarech agad, which generates a problem of a possible problem of tasev lo mina asui, meaning if he did the agad and any one of those three minim were possible at the time of the creation of this entity called the Hoshana, called the Lulav, there was a psul here, then you're going to have to reset. Exactly. You have to press the reset
the
button.
The agad's only one of the conditions. It's not nightfall yet. What difference does it make?
I just want to know the following. He did the agad, now he removes the berries. Okay, now it's nightfall. Can he use it? Or does he have to redo the agad? And that's the problem of Tasim Illuminos.
It's not a shame. You've told us it's not a shame of Shel Mitzvah until it's nightfall.
Okay, so that's the Aruch Lanier. So Michael, you Machavin tell Aruch Lanier. The Aruch Lanier throws a monkey wrench into this whole sugya. For some reason, Rashi is not bothered by this question. The Aruch HaNer lived about 2 centuries ago. We could probably spend a couple of hours trying to figure out the answer to this question. But we're going to assume, again, it's a tough pill to swallow, but otherwise we won't get to first base, as we say in baseball, in this sugya, is that with nightfall, the lua becomes a chefetz shel mitzvah. Even though at that moment you cannot yet fulfill the mitzvah of lulav, because the Torah requires daybreak, and this is the Aruch HaNer's problem, how could you call it a chefetz shel mitzvah when you can't fulfill the mitzvah at night? But Rashi injects into this whole sugya a concept called kedushas hayom. And kedushas hayom somehow envelops a 24-hour period. Again, very complicated.
You know. That wasn't really my question. That was even before that. You're saying that if you do agad, and it's possible at the time you do agad,
right,
you've got to do something to
right. You're gonna have to unravel.
But if it's still the 14th of Tishrei, and you do agad, the lulav is not a shem lulav shel mitzvah. Therefore, if it's not a shame lulav shel mitzvah, why can't you do agad then take the berries off? It's not. It's nothing. It's not anything.
Why is the order?
Well, wait a second. Let's go slowly. You did the agad and there's a multitude of berries. Correct. Now it's nightfall.
No.
Oh, it's not nightfall.
Before nightfall, you take the berries off.
Then you're okay.
Oh. Okay.
Then you're okay.
So, but you don't have to. And you don't have to.
My problem is
another agad on the.
No. My problem only is when you have.
It's awful. The lulav is. Oh, is it not lulav yet?
Because it's not a lulav, that's right. It's not a shame.
I'm doing agad, but I
yeah, no.
Wait a second. I'm sorry, I jumped the gun.
Wait a second, Michael. If your whole lulav is agad, you need that asir, correct? Now, at that point, there was a multitude of berries, so you never did that asir.
But it's not a shame lulav shel mitzvah yet.
But it doesn't matter. You need an agad. In other words, the whole nature of an agad is only. Agad itself is an asiyah, an active asiyah, again, only if you hold lulav tzarich agad, which requires setting up a lulav that'll become a lulav with nightfall. Again, it's a similar, if you just hear the paradigm of sukkah, you'll have no problem with this, because what happens in sukkah? When do I set up my schach?
Before
but when does it become a sukkah?
It's a heksher mitzvah.
Right? At nightfall it becomes a sukkah. Right, so but the asiyah has to be an asiyah behechsher, meaning that potentially now, based on my asiyah, if nothing else happens, it becomes a sukkah shel mitzvah and it's kosher. Ben?
It's a little bit of a Derek Lehman question. When the Gemara says pshita, isn't the next response, I'll show you why it's not pshita?
Yes.
Okay, just checking.
Yes. And what the Gemara is going to do is, now there's one step that's in the middle here, Ben, that we shouldn't skip. And this is a classical Talmudic thing. If I was teaching in Chappelle College, which I gave a course many years ago in Dr. Yom Chappelle, I would give a whole lecture on this, because this is what they're great at Chappelle College. The structure of Shas, and again, every rule has an exception, but this is like 99.9%. is that after you have a pshita, you're going to have to shift the scenario of the Mishnah or the Braisa or the statement in the Gemara by an Amora, etc., etc. So pshita really is stage one that leads to stage two. Stage one is that assuming the scenario was X, then pshita, then the Mishnah is not telling anything new. That's going to force me to my second position, that the scenario can't be X. Now, usually by process of elimination, there are only 2 possible scenarios. If there are 3 possible scenarios, it becomes really complicated. But thank God, in our case, there are only 2 possible scenarios. So that's what the Gemara says. Let's read the Gemara inside. Amos.
If it's Peshitta, in other words, it's not Peshitta. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know what you mean by Peshitta. I'm not.
Pshita.
Peshitta.
Peshitta, then what we're saying is actually it's not Peshitta. Is that what you're saying?
No, what we're saying is that if you assume X, whatever that X is about the scenario, then it's Peshitta. That forces us to assume Y. Then the Gemara inevitably will go back to X and tell you why there's a Chiddush and it's not Peshitta. So you follow? It's X, Y, and then back to X. So Pshita says if you assume X, then you're not telling me any chidush. If before the lulav shel mitzvah emerged, it was already kosher because he removed all the berries. That's called pshita. You have to assume, therefore, that he removed the berries at a later stage. Again, when we get to the later stage, we'll have to see exactly what that means. Because again, if we're talking about tasav olam ha'asu, it means after he did the agad, even before nightfall. If we're talking about dichui, we're going to have to assume that it's after nightfall. Again, all this hopefully will become clear as we go through the sugya. But since the premise now is X, that we're talking about a scenario in which whenever it's relevant to Lulav was done and accomplished after you already removed the berries, that's Pshita, then we're going to have to therefore shift to a new moment, which is called Y, and we're going to have to assume that he took off the berries after it was already problematic. Now, when I use the word problematic, which is a deliberately ambiguous word, why am I being ambiguous? Because again, we're going to have to introduce the issue of Lulav Tzarech Agad, which is always going to be something that we're going to vacillate back and forth. But if we assume Lulav Tzarech Agad, then the problem is going to arise if at the time of the Agad, there was a multitude of berries. And then he removes the berries, that's called Tasev Olam HaNasu. And let's assume for a moment that Lulav ain't Tzarech Agad, that everything is going to depend upon only one condition, namely nightfall. And then you can talk about Dichui B'mitzvahs if, in Jerry's scenario before, he violated the law of plucking berries on Shabbos, on Yontif, and he plucked the berries on Yontif. And then we're going to have the issue of Dichui. Okay, then? So the Gemara is trying to force us into a position where the Mishnah is going to commit itself about one of two issues, and maybe even on both issues, namely that there's no problem of Tasev Olam HaNasu, there's no problem of Dichui, and I'm going to prove that to you because the Mishnah allows you to remove the berries and to make the Hadas into a kosher of Hadas. Now, you can tell me that, well, the Mishnah says you can make it into kosher because it took place before the Lulav Shel Mitzvah emerged, but then the Gemara says, Pshita, then you're not telling me anything. Ella, what are you going to tell me? That the berries were removed after the moment of the critical moment that activates something. What is that critical moment? Again, now we get into the issue of Lulav Tzarech Agad or Ain Tzarech Agad. So if it's Lulav Tzarech Agad, then the critical moment in order to set up Agad is the moment of Agad. And if at that moment, when you did the Agad, there were too many berries, then when you remove the berries, you're violating the principle of Tasev Olam HaNasu. And now we're going to have to assume that if the Mishnah says you could remove the berries after Agad, it must be that the Mishnah assumes that there's no problem, no requirement of Tasev Olam HaNasu with regard to Lulav. Because where do we find the paradigm case of Tasev Olam HaNasu? In Sukkah. But we don't derive Lulav from Sukkah. And again, here we had the other day, for those of you who might remember, we had a major controversy as to whether or not we can derive Lulav from Sukkah. And just like Sukkah has a psul of Tasev Olam HaNasu, so Lulav, in the case of Lulav Tzarech Agad, has a psul of Tasev Olam HaNasu. We're going to derive from our Mishnah, if the Mishnah is allowing us to remove the berries, presumably after he already did the Agad, that there's no issue of Tasev Olam HaNasu in the case of Lulav, because Lulav is not going to be derived from Sukkah. Now let's drop the Lulav Tzarech Agad issue. Let's talk about Lulav Ein Tzarech Agad. If Lulav Ein Tzarech Agad, if the Mishnah is being machadish to be a chiddush as far as removing the berries and being mashal adas, it must be they remove the berries after nightfall. If you remove the berries after nightfall, then it must be assuming that Ein Dichui Ein Tzarech Mitzvahs. And all this, my friends, is based on Rashi. The Rashi is this long. So if we're able to plow through that Rashi today, I'll be a happy camper.
Yeah, in the scenario, if you remove the berries after nightfall, isn't that Issur or Tolesh?
Good. Not Tolesh per se, because again, you're talking about something that's not ground. It's not growing in the ground, mm-hmm. So that's not called Tolesh. Tolesh is always, by definition, when you remove something from a Chibur situation. But it might very well be a problem of Makab Apatish, meaning Tikkun Mona, because what you're doing is you're rectifying the Hoshana. And here, again, that's for tomorrow, Mirza Shev. That's going to be the whole sugya of tikkun mana. Is there tikkun mana when you rectify or perfect a hadas?
And isn't that mispravada avera?
Well, again, we have to first determine whether or not there is a violation of makah b'patish of tikkun mun. That's going to be the next sugya, which is just a few lines later, but I don't expect we're going to get to it today because we're doing a very heavy sugya here, laying down the groundwork, Sophia. So let's go through the Gemara inside. In bi'atan kosher, the Mishnah says, just take away the berries, remove the berries, and it's kosher. The ma'atinu emas. The Gemara is asking a rhetorical question. The ma'atinu, he removed the berries, he diminished the number of berries. Emas. When? When did this happen? So let's go through the various possibilities. Ilema mekame, if he did it before. In other words, he removed the berries before anything is activated here on the radar screen. Now, what does it mean before what? What's the X before X? So right now, the Gemara is assuming that lulav tzarech agad, which was the assumption of the previous Gemara. And if lulav tzarech agad, then if he removes the berries mekame before the agde, before the liagde, before he went ahead and did the igud, then pshita, if it was before the igud, then at the moment that he did the agad, that's called an asiya behechsher, because he already removed the berries before he did the agad. Now again, if you would hold now, and this is what Rashi is going to point out, the lulav ain't tzarech agad, then the Gemara would have reformulated the question in a slightly different language, and it would have said ilema mikame dekidish hayom, meaning before nightfall. That would also be pshita, because the status of a lulav before nightfall is that of a piece of broom. I don't know, we'll call it a broom. It's not relevant, so there's no issue about dichli. So again, you know, there are two issues here. There's one issue possibly of tasa lomanosa, but that assumes that you need an asiyah that's called lulav tzarech agad. If you hold lulav ain't tzarech agad, then the only issue that we could address here that becomes relevant is dichli etzel mitzvahs. But dichli etzel mitzvahs would have to be that when we entered into yontif and it became a lulav shel mitzvah, it was possible, and that generates a principle called dichli according to the Man Yomar, who says yesh dichli etzel mitzvahs. But here you're telling me that he removed it too early. When I say too early, it's not too early. It's exactly what we would have told him to do. It's too early to create a problem so that we can derive any new conclusions, sensational conclusions from this Mishnah. And that's where the Gemara stops it with the word pshita. Okay, let's look at Rashi now. Rashi, Dibra Maschil. One second, I'm on the wrong page here. Just one second. Rashi, Dibra Maschil, pshita. Okay, that's about 10 lines down from the top. Amai nifsale, pshita means what was the hava, meaning what thought would have crossed your mind that it could be possible? Lo mina osu yeshka, and this is not a problem of mina osu, because when did he do the agad? Which came first, the removal of berries or the agad? The removal of berries. So if you remove the berries, the agad was behechsher, not bipsul. Hare neged behechsher. So we've solved one problem, and it's pshita. There's no chiddush over here. There's no possibility of applying tasim lo mina osu, even though we require an asiyah because we hold lulav tzarech agad, because he already removed the berries before he did the agad, so the agad was done behechsher. Now, what about the second issue, the issue of dichud? V'lo mishum dichu yesh kan. Now, Rashi at this point is still maintaining that lulav tzarech agad. So if lulav tzarech agad, we need two conditions for the shem lulav shel mitzvah bichal, such that a psul would activate dichui according to that man d'yomar. What are the two conditions of your lulav tzarech agad? And kedushas hayom and laila, correct. He says, "V'lo mishum dichui yeshkan." There's no issue of dichui here. Sharei lo kara shem mitzvah alei b'dichui. In other words, at the time that he did the agad, it was already clean of its berries, and therefore there's no dichui over here. So what happens before agad, if you're lulav tzarech agad, and again, and we'll soon see in Rashi that the same logic will apply if you hold lulav ain't tzarech agad, but then the critical moment is Lila. What was the situation at Lila? Did he remove the berries before Lila? If he removed the berries before Lila, then we have no problem with dichui because it was a kashra hadas when we entered into Yom. Ella, Now this has been that middle point that I wanted to say to you before. Ella libasar diliagde. Since we've rejected the possibility that the Mishnah is talking about a case where he removed the berries before Agad, because that would be Pshita, then it must be that when did he remove the berries?
Yeah.
After Agad. Oh, if that be the case, then we're going to be able to derive certain conclusions from the Mishnah, and the Mishnah is a chidush, not pshita, but it's a chidush. Now let's calculate. If the Mishnah says he can remove the berries after Agad, and yet everything is kosher liosha, then number one, what problem is completely eliminated? Tasev alomina asui. No, I'm sorry, you could have gone the other way, but I'm just going, Tasev alomina asui is removed here from the picture, according to the Mishnah. And that's a gewaldige chiddush. I never would have expected that. I would have said that if it was full of berries at the time of the Agad, then he's got to start from scratch again. The whole Agad Asi is gone. It must be that our Mishnah is holding that we don't derive lulav from Sukkah, and even though Sukkah requires Asiya, and therefore Tasev alomina asui, that principle does not get transferred over to lulav. And then we're going to possibly derive the conclusion of dichui. What do I mean by dichui? Since he has a problem of a multitude of berries, and he hasn't yet solved the problem. So going into yontif, we have a hadas that's possible. So the Gemara says, then you must assume that dichui doesn't apply over here because the Mishnah says he just removes the berries and he's makshir the hadas. Oh. But if you remember, so we had two subcategories of dichui. The first category, which I call the classical case of dichui, is there where is at time A1 it was kosher. Let's call it T1, right? At time T1 it was kosher. At time T2 it became possible. And then at time T3 it became kosher again. That's going to be an issue of dichui. But here we have a different kind of dichui. This is called dichui mei ikara. There was never time T1. There was never a moment of time when the shame lulav shel mitzvah emerged and it was possible. I'm sorry. There was never a time T1 when the shame lulav shel mitzvah emerged and it was kosher. It was never kosher to begin with. Why? Because going into yontif, it was full of berries and it was possible. So the Gemara says, then dichui mei karahu v'tif shel minei dichui mei karo lo avi dichui. If the Mishnah is talking about a case where he removes the berries later on, then, and the Mishnah nevertheless insists that the hadas is kosher, you must be assuming that dichui mei kara lav shmei dichui, lo havi dichui. Meaning that if there was dichui and psul prior to, or you could for that matter say simultaneous with, the emergence of the shame lulav shel mitzvah, which means yontif, so that dichui doesn't bother. It could be the yesh dichui etzel mitzvah, but not dichui meikar. Here's the paradox from both sides. What I'm telling you is that because this hadas is possible, it becomes kosher, and if it was kosher, it becomes possible. This is a paradox of dichui. Why? Because if it was dichui meikar, it was possible from the get-go, then it never had a moment in which dichui could apply. Because dichui requires sort of an active penetration of a psul into the very essence, but it's got to be active. In other words, you have what's called a lulav shel mitzvah, and now the dichui is chal. Once the dichui is chal, I can apply the principle according to one another, dichui etzel mitzvah, so it can never be reinstated. Once rejected, always rejected. But if it never became a lulav shel mitzvah, that's called dichui mei kara, meaning from the very moment that the sun set on Leil Yud Tesvav b'Tishrei, it was possible. That's not called dichui. Dichui has to have an uftu, we call it in Yiddish. It has to have an accomplishment. What's the accomplishment of dichui? It was kosher, and then dichui, I punched it in the nose. I knocked off its head, and it became mikdam rosho. That's called dichui. that's the classical decree. But if it never was kosher, and never had a moment of time in which it was kosher and then became possible, rather it was possible before it even could become a lulav shel mitzvah. It wasn't even a candidate yet for a lulav shel mitzvah. So when the son said on Leil Tesfav, it was possible. That's called dichri meikara. And the Gemara says, you know what? At least one thing I can prove from that Mishnah, that dichri meikara lo havi dichri. Rashi calls that palga. Palga means half. Rashi says you're halfway there. We still don't know what would be if the lulav was kosher on the night of Pesach, on the night of Sukkot, and then its head got knocked off, and then it grew a berry on top of its head. What would be the status of that dichui? That depends upon yesh dichui, since it's ain dichui, so we have no proof from that Mishnah. But one thing we can prove from that Mishnah, and that's that dichui mei karo lav shmei dichui. And the proof that dichui mei karo eino dichui is predicated on the one word pshita. What do I mean by pshita? That pshita forced us to assume that when we entered into Yontif, there were berries on the multitude of berries on the stem, and therefore it was possible going into Yontif. Now we're going to have to assume and derive the conclusion that dichui mei kara lo avi dichui. But if we would have gone back to our original position, namely that he removed the anovin before Yontif, if that be the case, we couldn't prove anything, but then it would be pshita. So we have an agenda here to try to come up with a chidush in the Mishnah, because otherwise the Mishnah is repeating something, formulating something that we know on our own. That's called pshit. And now what the Gemara is going to try to do is go back to our original premise. He removed the berries before the agad, and nevertheless is a chidush.
By taking the berries off on Yontif.
I'm sorry, Jerry. Just one second. I'm sorry. I made one mistake. I just want to correct one thing. Our original assumption. Just one second. I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead. Good. Sorry. Yeah, I think what I said was right.
You take the berries off once it's already yontif. Isn't that a purpose?
So that's going to be the next sugya. I'm trying to push you off till tomorrow, because the question is, I don't know if you're familiar with this sugya, but that's the sugya for tomorrow. It's called Dabrashena Miskavin. And then there's something called a psikresha, and then there's a psikresha nichale, delo nichale. I mean, I don't know what, you know, I don't know how oriented you are in that sugya. It's a major sugya for tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Okay, then? All right. Now I've also said, Ben, I'll be right with you. I just want to make sure I don't lose the thread, because I am. Let's assume that he did the agad. Let's assume that, just one second. Let's go back again to the first line of the Gemara. Dematinu emas im lema mekame dili agde pshita. If he removed the berries before he did the agad, then it's pshita. Oh. But if he removed the berries after the agad, then you have a chidush called dichui meikara lo avi dichui. Great. Well, you want to say something? But real quick, because I want to get to the punchline. Okay, hold on for a minute. So now, listen what the Gemara is going to pull off now. The Gemara is going to tell you now that Enochinami, he did the agad first, and then he plucked off the berries. Now, that should be a problem of what? Of Tasa Malobina Asun, correct? Because if the berries were there and the Adas was possible at the time that he did the Agad, then his Agad was Bipsul. And if you assume that we derive Lula from Sukkah, then Tasa Malobina Asun.
That's not a problem, though, because he can just undo it and
do it again. But the Gemara wants to know what happens if he didn't undo it, because again, if it's Yontif, it's very problematic to undo it.
Now Yontif comes in.
Now Yontif comes in. What he did was, He did the agad. Listen carefully. Rabosa, here's the scenario. He did the agad
just a minute before
without removing the berries.
Then Yom Tov comes in.
And then Yom Tov comes in. Now the question is that agad, if Yom Lulav Tzarech Agad, a valid agad? So if Yom Lulav Tzarech Agad, you're gonna have a problem here, because he's gotta remove the agad and start again the agad, which is not a simple matter, we're gonna see, because the melech is kosher. That has to do with untying knots, kosher matra. Okay. However, Abosai, if I assume that lulav ain't tzarech agad, then there's no issue of tasa v'lo menos. So then, even if he did an agad before he removed the berries, if he removed the berries let's go through both possibilities. If he removed the berries after Yontif, again, we'll get to the issue of Malachas Yontif, then we have what's called Dichi Meikara. And then we can derive a conclusion from our Mishnah of Dichi Meikara Lo Avi Dichi. But again, the Gemara now is fighting that. The Gemara wants to assume that Dichi Meikara might be Dichi. So the Gemara now says, well, let's say that he did the agad before he removed the berries, and then he removed the berries before Yontif. So then you should say Pshita, correct? Then we're back to Pshita. So the Gemara wants to say, no, the Chiddush of our Mishnah is that although he did the agad does not have the status of Asiya. We have to figure out why.
Because you were binding and not kosher.
Yes.
So the Gemara now, again, we're going to have to really rush this, and I apologize because it's just a very complicated sugya, but I'm trying to figure it out. The Gemara now differentiates between two concepts, Asiya and Hazmana. Now, Hazmana, which literally means to designate, is a famous sugya in Shas. In the Encyclopedia Talmudit, there are 20 pages on this topic called Hazmana. And Hazmana really classically applies when you designate something. I'll give you an example. The Gemara has a case where you designate a place for a bathhouse. And there are certain dinim about what you're allowed to do in a bathhouse, what you're not allowed to do in a bathhouse, you don't learn Torah in a bathhouse, you don't daven in a bathhouse, whatever it is. So the Gemara wants to know, at what moment in time does this Isur of Beis HaMerchatz emerge? Is it the moment of Hazmana, when I've designated, you know, I told the Kaplan, you know, build, you know, put in the piping for a bathhouse, or it's only after it was used on one occasion? Okay. So now the Gemara wants to reshift our entire way of thinking. And the Gemara wants to take agad and downgrade it from the level of asiya to the level of hazmana. So watch what happens over here. He ties together hadasim, aravos, and the lulav. The hadasim now have a multitude of berries. Okay? So at that moment in time, the quote-unquote asiya, which we're about to retract, but we'll call it an asiya of agad, was bipsul. And now we have to start from scratch again. Correct? Comes along the Mishnah and says you don't need another agad. Why? Because agad is not asiya, but rather it's hazmat. Let's read it inside. Okay? The Gemara says, Li olam basar di agde. When did he remove the excess berries? It was after agad. Because sovar, but our Mishnah holds that agad hazmana bi almahu. The status of hazmana is, I'm sorry, the status of agad, according to that Mishnah, is that of hazmana. And look at the next line in the Gemara, Hazmana v'alma lav klumu, that Hazmana does not engender a shame lulav. Even though, again, I've designated it as a lulav, correct?
So what's the point? Okay.
So the Mishnah wants to be machadish. Don't think that Agad has the status of Asiyah, and if it has the status of Asiyah, since you didn't remove the berries before the Agad, but rather you moved it Basar the Agad, after you did the Agad, you would think therefore there's a problem of Tasim Alomina Asuri. Again, assuming that you derive Lula from Sukkah. The answer is that Mishnah wants to be Mechadish Achidish. That Agad does not have a recognized halachic status of an action that creates a Cheftish of Mitzvah, meaning it's not considered Asiyah, but rather we downgrade it to the level of Hazmana. And the Mishnah wants to tell me a Chiddush that Hazmana lav milsahi.
This goes back to what I originally asked. So in other words, if you believe in, if you accept the idea that Sarih Agad, so Agad comes, right, and it's only a designation of it as a lulav, it doesn't become a lulav to sunset.
Correct. And what would happen if he left the Anavim there before sunset? So entering into Yontif, there were Anavim, and therefore the Hadas is possible. In that case, it might be that even if he removes the berries, it's still possible because he dichates on mitzvahs. But what the Gemara is saying here is that this Mishnah is not telling me a chiddush about dichates on mitzvahs at all. This Mishnah wants to tell me a chiddush that there's no problem of tasa mina velo mina osu, because Agad is not considered a tasa and asiya, but rather it's considered hazma. All right. So anybody who wants to stay longer, but right now, you know, we finished the
therefore
it's not, thank you. Therefore it's not like Sukkah.
Oh, that Agad is not like Sukkah. Now here, if you again, I don't know what your time frame is, but if you have another few minutes, if you take a look, Rashi says, you have the Rashi Li Olam? Rashi Dibra Maska Li Olam? Rashi says, Ein Agudoso Kriya Shem. The act of Agad does not generate a Shem Lulav. Again, Shem Lulav here means a potential. We have to wait till nightfall, but it's already ready as is to be a Lulav. Leos Chal Olav Shem Lulav Pasul Lidchos. Meaning if you apply the principle of Dechiyah, so the Hazmana does not generate a Shem Lulav, meaning a Lulav Shal Mitzvah, to make it into a Psul. Hilkach Afilu Dichui Meikara Einkan. There's no possibility of saying that it's dochli at all, because the lulav has not been subject to any action, any agency that created the shame lulav shel mitzvah, but rather it was only subject to an action called hazmana, and hazmana lav milsini. It's not considered significant, and therefore achi kadish olaf hayom vodenu bipsulo. If he left the berries on going into nightfall, past sunset, then we have a problem of dichui. Came into Mata Zman Mitzvah, once the Zman of the Mitzvah came, and here's where the Aruch Haner yells, Shrei V'Kayim. What do you mean Zman Mitzvah came? Zman Mitzvah is not until daybreak the next morning. But Rashi holds, came on the Mata Zman Mitzvah. You know, it's the entire 24 hours of Sukkot, of Yom Tov Sukkot, is called Zman Mitzvah, even as far as Lulav is concerned, which is a tell of a chidush. The Lochazile, and it's got too many berries on it, so it's not suitable as a kosher hadas. Mikri, it's considered dichui. Amol makami ofi, but if he removes the berries before nightfall, then lav dichui. So you'll ask me, but that's pshita. So what are the Mishnah Chash? The answer is that he removed the berries before nightfall, but after Agad. And you would have thought, therefore, there's another reason to passel this lulav, again, until he redoes the whole thing. And that's called Tasim Olam and Asa. You think, Kamash Molan, no, this is not called an Asiyah, this is only called Hazmon. Now, why is it only called Hazmon and not an Asiyah? I would guess that at this point the Gemara is backtracking on Lulav Tzarech Agad. That would be the simplest way of going. But again, this requires a lot more.
Why is it backtracking on that? It's not the fact that it needs Hazmana doesn't invalidate Lulav Tzarech
But again, here's my problem, Phil. Can I reconcile the following two premises? Can I say on the one hand that Lulav Tzarech Agad, and the other hand say that that's not called an Asiyah, and it doesn't lend itself to the problem of Tasim Lulav and Asui, but it's only called Hazmana?
It's not
called
Lulav until nightfall, then I would say Shita.
But again, keep in mind, Phil, our paradigm case of Tassim Olam Nasi is Sukkah. It doesn't become a Sukkah until nightfall.
So it's different than Sukkah.
So you see that there's an Asiyah. Now, Agad is also an Asiyah. So when the Gemara downgrades it to Hazmana, it sounds like the Gemara is dropping the ball on Lulav Tzarek Agad. I don't know. That requires a lot of study.
The concept of Hazmana is almost not worth having. It doesn't put it in.
Right. Well, one man Yomar holds Hazmana Milso, which means that it's going to have tremendous repercussions in tefillin, for example. You know, when they take a skin, a hide off a kosher animal, and they do what's called the ibud, which I think is tanning. I don't know what you call it in English. So then you, at that moment, you have to do it with shema. So you've designated it for the purpose of tefillin.
Right.
And the question is, if let's say he decides, no, I don't want to make tefillin, can he use this hide for another purpose, his own purpose, if he holds Hazmana Milsa? It could be that there's a difference between Cheftza Shel Mitzvah and Cheftza Shel Kedusha. Could be that everybody agrees in a Cheftza Shel Kedusha that Hazmana is Milsa because you need Lishma.
Right.
And when you need a Lishma, like for example, you prepare the cloth, you need a Lishma, it could be that once you had the Lishma, that already engenders Kedusha into the cloth, such that you can't, that's irreversible. But let's say Beis HaMerchatz, which is not Kedusha, and you want to generate an Issa Beis HaMerchatz through Hazmana, then we paskin, let's say, Hazmana Lav Milsa. But there's one man who says Hazmana Milsa even in Beis HaKisei, Beis HaMerchatz. So Hazmana is a gigantic sugya, as I told you. If you're familiar with the encyclopedia, Talmudim, he's got pages and pages and pages on this sugya.
The sugya itself, once it's designated.
Ah.
Just one second. I had that issue when I built a sukkah, and then I wanted to use the spot for building materials for something else. And that was
after Sukkot. That was the issue of Hazmana Mills. Oh, before Sukkot or after Sukkot?
No, after Sukkot.
Oh, after Sukkot, that's a whole different story. That has to do with what's called a Cheftza Shel Mitzvah, meaning, let's assume that Hazmana Lav Milsa, but once you used it for the mitzvah, then everybody agrees that it has the status of a Cheftza Shel Mitzvah. Yeah. Now the issue is, what happens Motzei Chag, when the stars come out on Motzei Yontif, does that remove the status of the Schach as a Cheftza Shel Mitzvah? Like, for example, we take tzitzis, even after we're finished with them, and we put them into Geniza. But technically, I would say that you don't have to put it in Geniza. You want to use it for dental floss, it would be okay, because it's no longer Cheftza Shel Mitzvah. You took it off the Begin. And this is really, this is the sugi of what's called Mosar Shemen Shebener Chanukah, meaning you poured oil for the Ner Chanukah, and let's say there was leftover oil the first night, so you added oil and you lit it the second night. When you get to the eighth night, then after it goes out, you have Mosar Shemen Shebener. Now you and I maybe would say we don't want to use it, but let's say you do want to use it, or alternatively, what do you do with it? Do you have to make a bonfire and burn it? What do you do with your lulav? So we have a minute of taking the lulav and using it with the chametz, but that's for a different reason. That's because kevin genasis bo mitzvah achas, also bo mitzvah acheres. But technically speaking, a lulav after the yontif, I can use it for any, you know, I can make it into a broom if I want.
But the tzitzis,
I can smell the esrog after yontif.
The tzitzis, can you actually throw it away? I mean, that's
again, according to technical law, you can. But don't tell anybody that, because they'll call you denier or something. Because we have a minute of doing Geniza. I mean, we put all sorts of things into Geniza.
But a lot of things people put in Geniza do not require Geniza.
Absolutely. I would say 99% of what we put in Geniza don't require Geniza. But this is the way we live, you know. There's certain halachas that became kind of theoretical. Like, for example, again, don't laugh at me, but I don't know if I'm chayav in slichas. Slichas? Rabbi Person, how can you say such a thing? Well, you would not be curious, you're not having kind of sleepers. Everybody has to go to sleepers. But the answer is, if it affects my ability to teach Torah, it could be that technically I'm not having sleepers. Because Torah learning and teaching becomes more important than sleep. But Lamaisa, no Rav is going to tell you don't go to sleepers. You know what I'm saying? No Rav is going to tell you take your tzitzis and use it as dental floss. Because you're finished with the mitzvah.
Did you turn the table?
Oh.